big what we call Tree of Life Church. Welcome here now tonight to Tom and Kathy Ray as he ministers and takes over the rest of this service here. God bless you.
Appreciate it. All right. Hey, to the young people, we're going to pray for you, okay? In a few minutes, 10, 15 minutes, we'll pray for you. All right. Hey, Pastor Mike, are there any, the children that went to children's church, how old, what age group were they? 11 down. Okay, got it. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, here goes. Pastor Mike mentioned the flood that we had. I'll just say this. Those reverse 911 calls, do you know what those are? That's when the phone rings at, ours rang at 1:30 in the morning, if you have a landline. And they said, be careful, because our house is on the San Marcos River. And the Blanco River dumps into the San Marcos River and then comes past our house in Martindale. But we're up on a 30-foot bluff and back a little bit, so we felt like we were going to be okay. So at 1:30, I'm just walking out in the dark with my flashlight and shining down on the river. And, I can see it. It's pretty raging, but it's down pretty far. And so I went back in the house and went back to sleep. 3:30, the phone rings again. And it's the 911 call saying, get out. A flood of record is coming. And so I got up, got my flashlight, walked back down to the river and shined it down. We have a cliff. And it's still down there. It's raging. But then I walked back to the house and I got on the internet. I got on our website and not our website, but I got on a Guadalupe Blanco River Authority website. And because I go there checking river levels so I can know if I can fish on the Guadalupe River sometimes, okay? That's why I know about that website. So I got on there and I clicked on, and you can just click on the river you want. So I clicked on the Blanco River and I just clicked on Wimberley. And it just has this little line like this and then this little box on the left. And in the box, it talks about all the record levels. And I noticed that in the 1998 flood, did you guys have... We call it the 98 flood in San Marcos. Did you guys get 98 flood here? Okay, never mind. All right, I guess we got it. But anyway, that was the flood of record, and the Blanco River was up 30, that was their record crest, was 33 feet above normal. That's a lot of water. I'm assuming that's higher than this ceiling here. Well, so that was in the box. Then I looked at the little line, and here it was just being normal. And then when it got to that morning, it just went straight up. No angle like this. It just went straight up. And there was no top to it. And then I noticed it's at 40 feet. And I know, uh-oh, it's more than it's ever been before. And so we started making phone calls. And I don't want to take your time talking about flood stuff, but our school got really hammered, and a lot of people lost a lot. So it hurt. A lot of people really in trouble over that. In other words, a great sense of loss for them. So if your house washes away, you would feel it too. Okay. But with the flood in mind, we had a prayer meeting, I think, a following Wednesday night. And that night at the end of the prayer meeting, somebody started praying about the flood, and all of a sudden, this passage of Scripture came into my mind, Revelation chapter 12. So I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to look at that for just a few minutes, and then we're going to pray for the young people. Then, are Sarah and Nate in here? They're upstairs? You're Nate. Hi, Nate. Good to see you. Sarah's upstairs. after a few minutes, can we send for her to get her back down here? Not now, but probably in 15 minutes we can send for her? Okay. All right, I want to pray for the young people, then I want to pray for y'all, and then we're going to pray for parents. Okay, and I'll show you why. Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to read a good portion of this chapter, or we will read it. Most of the first couple of paragraphs, and then we'll finish with the last paragraph or two. So, when we were having that Wednesday night prayer meeting, and near the end, somebody started praying about the flood, and I don't know what they prayed, but I remembered this passage, because this passage, and we'll read it in just a moment, talks about the adversary spewing out, well, it's down here in verse 13 or 14. It talks about, then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman. We'll start in verse 1 in just a second, but it reminded me of this passage, so I want to share this with you because there's a purpose to what I'm doing. I prayed. Here's why we're doing this. Let's begin verse 1. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon, with her feet, and under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. And the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son. Now notice this. A male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. Okay, then it goes on to talk about, and there was war in heaven, and Michael the archangel fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought back, and you can read that on your, you know, yourself at another time. All right, I don't pretend to know everything about this book of Revelation, but I'm intrigued with it. And I know that the Lord wants to speak to us from it. And so when we get here, this literally, the scripture says, blessed are the people who read this book. Not just the whole Bible, but this book of Revelation. And so I want us to look and see some things here. And the first thing I want to notice, and this is where the young people, it's going to, where I'm going to refer specifically to the young people. But did you notice that there was a woman, it says, clothed with the sun, moon, and under her feet was a crown of 12 stars. With the moon was under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars was on her head, and she was pregnant, and she cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Okay. Now, the woman. I don't know the full implications of what it means here with the woman, but I'm just going to suggest a few things, and I'm going to suggest that the male child that was born, who would you guess that the male child that was born and he was caught up into heaven and he's going to rule the nations with an iron scepter? Who would you guess that that might be? Jesus. I would too, all right? But this woman is going to give birth to the child, and the dragon knows that the child is coming, that the woman is in travail, that she is in the pains of birth. And so literally it says here in verse 5 that the dragon was sitting here waiting for the woman to give birth so that the dragon could do what? Could consume or devour the child that was to be born. Now this is the first message that I want us to draw from this passage. Whether the woman represents Israel in terms of Israel was really the Jesus came through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and through the nation of Israel. We got Jesus, our Messiah, through Israel. We owe them. Okay? But whether this I don't know what to say about the woman, but I just want to say this. The adversary's intention was to devour the child. Okay. Now, I want you to hold on to that for just a couple of moments, and then we're praying. Here's when Israel was enslaved by the Egyptians, and they began to get too numerous that the Pharaoh began to worry about them. I don't remember if I've shared this with you before, but what did Pharaoh, what was his command to concerning the nation of Israel when they were beginning to get too numerous? What was Pharaoh's command? Kill the children, the male children, right? All right. I'm suggesting to you that the adversary's intention is to kill the children. Now hold on to that for a second because we're going a little bit farther. Okay, when the adversary, I think somehow the adversary is able to sense when a redeemer is coming. And in the sense of Pharaoh, somehow the adversary knew that Moses, a redeemer, Moses is a picture of Jesus, in the Old Testament at least, but the adversary knew that there is a redeemer coming, so Pharaoh gives this order, have all the children killed. Okay, now let's fast forward to the New Testament, and when the Magi, those wise men, show up on on Herod's doorstep, and they say, where's the king of the Jews who's supposed to be born here in Israel? We saw his star in the east. And Herod goes, he inquires of his guys who know the scripture, and he says, hey guys, where's the Messiah supposed to be born? And they say, oh, according to Micah, he's going to be born in the town of Bethlehem. So Herod says to the Magi, you guys go look for him, and when you find him, would you come back and tell me so I can go worship him too? Remember him saying that? It's in our Christmas story. We know this, okay? And so, but so the Magi, they do go and they find Jesus, the Messiah. But being warned in a dream to not go back to Herod, they went back to their home country by a different route. Now, Herod got really mad. And the scripture says that he ordered his army, his soldiers, to go do what? In that whole vicinity of Bethlehem, what did they do? They killed all the children up to about 2 years. They were, even in the womb, they're considered up to 1 year old. So anyway, that all the little children were killed. Here's what I'm saying. The adversary's intention is to kill the little ones, the young ones. I'm not saying just the little guys, but the young ones. One last passage to illustrate this. Genesis 3:15, I want you to look at it. This is the first mention of a Messiah that's coming. Jesus help here. Genesis 3:15. All right, this is after the fall. This is after Adam and Eve have partaken of the forbidden fruit. And then God comes to the garden in the cool of the day, and he goes, Adam, where are you? And Adam's hiding. And so anyway, this is the curse. Now, I'm going to share with you the curse here. Verse 15. Let's back up a little bit. And so the Lord God, verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals, and you will crawl on your belly and you'll eat dust. Now the Lord is speaking to the serpent, but there's a message. This topic burns inside me. It's like I cannot leave this thing. What we're getting ready to talk about is the total answer of the last couple of verses in the whole Old Testament. So watch. Cursed are you to the serpent. He says, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You'll crawl on your belly. You'll eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put, now look at this verse. This verse is called a proto-evangelium. It's the first mention of a coming Messiah. All right? And I will put enmity. Now God is talking to the serpent first. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring, that means the serpent's offspring, and hers. Okay, if you have a pencil or a pen, circle that where it says hers. In some of your Bibles, it will talk about between the serpent's seed and her seed. Okay, that's an unusual use of terms there, because it's the Hebrew word called zerah. The seed doesn't usually come from the woman. The seed comes from the man. But he's talking about the seed of the woman. Now Jesus, the Messiah, is totally, literally the seed of the woman. Jesus had no human father. Jesus is the only person ever born with God as his father and a human mother. So Jesus is 100% God, and Jesus was 100% man, all at the same time. Now listen, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her offspring, between your offspring and hers. That Hebrew word zerah, this is the meaning. It has a twin meaning. Here's what it means. The first meaning is it refers to one person that represents the whole group. Now, who would that be? What one person is talking about? The enmity, the fight that will be between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Now, the seed of the woman, one person who represents the whole group, who would that one person be? Jesus. You got it right, okay? There's a second meaning. The second meaning is this. It also means the group as a whole. Every child ever born. Now let's read. The next line says, he will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. Now Jesus' heel got bruised by the fight between, but Jesus crushed the head and the neck of the adversary. It's already done. Jesus is our champion. He has waged our war for us, and he has rendered the adversary, he's rendered him defeated on our behalf. Now here's the interesting thing. Romans chapter, I think it's Romans 16, says this. The God of peace will soon crush, soon crush Satan underneath our feet. Okay, here's what I'm saying. Every person ever born has the potential to be a Satan crusher. And it's in Genesis 3:15. So the adversary has something within that is against the young people, each child ever born, and as they grow up, because those people have potential, as we do as older people, the rest of us, equally so, but each of those young ones have a potential to be a Satan crusher themselves. Therefore, the adversary always is attacking the young ones. Now, why am I saying this? Here's where we're almost ready to pray, and we're going to help. We're all going to pray, okay? Why am I saying this? I felt like the Lord spoke to me years ago, and I heard him say this. I heard him say, as I had moved from Colorado to Texas, and I heard him say, a new class of unusual leaders will again arise from this area. A new class of unusual leaders. Now that's not going to mean a whole lot to y'all, but it meant a lot to me, because I remembered back in the Jesus movement and do you remember the Jesus? The older guys. How many of you remember the 70s? All right? Do you remember Calvary Chapel and the hippies getting saved? And do you remember Chuck Smith, and do you remember? And then the charismatic renewal began to get woven into that. And Kathy and I were listening to a testimony as we drove up here. The guy gets saved, and then he just goes to this house church. He said, we got to go early, because if we don't go early, we won't get inside, and we'll have to sit outside and listen to the speaker from the open windows. So they went to this meeting. There's 100 hippies in the house and crowded outside windows outside the house. And it was a true move of God in the late 60s and early 70s. It's the Jesus movement, charismatic movement, everything all just wrapped together. It was revival time. And I remember those days, because that's where God apprehended me in those days. But this is why it means that what the Lord spoke to me means so much, is because I was born into a church. My wife is a product of that movement touching San Marcos High School. And a lot of high school kids getting radically turned on to Jesus, so much so that some of Kathy's friends, they formed this rock and roll band called Liberation Suite. And the young people, they played Christian music, and the school dances, that Lib Suite played the music for the school dances, and it's Christian music. Lib Suite went to Ireland back. Does anybody remember the 70s? Remember when the Catholics and the Protestants used to bomb each other in the 70s? Lib Suite, nobody traveled to Northern Ireland back then. That was not your destination if you're going on a vacation. Because they were bombing. It was like terrorism. It was not good. And yet Lib Suite went there and in 365 days, I think their numbers were, they did 320 concerts in 365 days. And people just radically got saved through the ministry of 18 and 19-year-olds. 19-year-old musicians. I've seen photographs. They would set up on street corners. They would set up in the big Prince Albert Hall. You could see 10,000 people listening to Lib Suite. It was not a small thing. But if you were mom or dad and your teenager comes to you and says, okay, what if one of these teenagers came and said, mom or dad, our band is going to Northern Ireland. And they're 19. Did I just hear a mom say no? That's probably what I would say. Okay? Do you understand the significance of what that was? Or what happened there? My suggestion is that every generation that continues to be born has the potential of being a Satan crusher. And that's why I want to pray for the young ones. All right. I felt like I heard the Lord say, a new class of unusual leaders is again going to come from this area. All right. I've been discouraged because I've heard the Lord say that years ago. I think 12 years ago, something like that. And I've always looked, because I'm obviously in San Marcos we have Texas State University, and I assumed that those young people that our church would get this college ministry and that we would touch a bunch of young people that would go touch the nations. And so I've been watching for this for 12 years. Last Sunday, we're worshiping, the worship service started just like this. In our church, a lot of people come down here. You guys should try that. And so the front fills. And so we're about into song number two. And the front's full, but Kathy and I sit on the front row. So I'm here, but the front is full of people are in front of me. You see what I'm saying? So Kathy and I are just at our chairs. We're into the second song, and I look to my right, and I see this row of young people, about five of them, among adults and whatever. Just they're scattered the whole width, like y'all's width. And I hear the Lord, that unmistakable voice. And he said, there's your new class of unusual leaders. I had been looking in college for those leaders, and they hadn't been coming. They were just getting raised up among us. So the young people I'm looking at are predominantly high school. That's why I'm sharing this. My desire is to pray over this church. I want to ask the Lord to impart something to this church that y'all get in on it too. That the new class of unusual leaders will rise up from this place too, and they're going to come in young people. Okay, come on. You guys just sit on the stairs for the next minute or two. Young people, all right, do I just have only a couple? Ah, good. Give me all young people. Just go ahead and sit on the stairs. We'll get to you in a second, okay? All right, thanks. Now, there's children's ministry off somewhere, correct? They matter too. It's just, I didn't ask Pastor Mike to bring them in. I just asked for the older young people. Do you know that you're older young people? Okay. Listen really carefully. Y'all listen, and all of us listen. We cannot give them religion. We cannot have as a vision that we want God to turn out good kids. Now, is that bad? Is that bad to ask the Lord, Lord, I would just like to have good kids? That's not a bad request. I'm just saying it's not enough. It's way not enough. It's not enough for us to ask the Lord to keep our kids safe. Now, do we want our kids safe? Yes. But it's not enough. We cannot give them religion. We make a mistake if we do. Listen, this is what I want to say to you and all of us. It's Jesus. Religion dies. Religion fails. Let me put it that way. Religion fails. But Jesus never does. And Jesus, religion will not be enough motivation in your heart to direct your footsteps for the future that's ahead. Do you hear me? Religion will not guide you and keep you in the path of Jesus. But a relationship and knowledge of him will. Okay, now listen, I need to ask a question here first. If the Lord began to, all of us have a testimony. If the Lord, now many of us grew up in Christian homes, and I got baptized I think when I was 9 years old. But the Lord reached down, and so I had a basic knowledge of the truth, and I knew Jesus was the Son of God. But when I got to high school and college, I wanted Jesus as my Savior, but I was searching fulfillment just like everybody else. So I was chasing relationships and fun. But I still had a basic foundational knowledge of Jesus. I was raised in a Southern Baptist church, okay? So you can understand when I went to Texas State University, SWT in those days, you can understand I'm doing what everybody else does, okay? All right, but God started to get hold of me. Now I need a show of hands. I'm not asking when you got that foundational knowledge or gave your heart as a child. When did the Lord reach in and really start to impact you and grab hold of your life? not as a child when you, okay, but can, if you were 10 to 15 years old and the Lord reached into your life and really apprehended you or revealed himself to you or even spoke to you, if you were 10 to 15, would you raise your hand? One, two. Okay, if three. If you were 16 to 20, would you raise your hand? One. Okay, now we're getting more. I'm not even counting here. Okay, if you're, but that's, I'm going to say that's eight hands, maybe 10. Okay, now if you were 20 to 25, would you raise your hand when the Lord started? Here's a few more hands. Okay. I've never done this before, so. Okay, if you were 20, later than 25, raise your hand. Okay, that's a bunch of hands right there. All right. Did you ever hear the Lord just speak to you? In your mind, maybe not an audible voice, but in your heart or your mind. Raise your hand if you heard the Lord, no matter what age. All right. What did he say to you? Just give me three examples. Somebody. Example one. You heard him say that he loved you. Give me another example. What did he say to you? Say what? Fear not. Okay, give me another example. Okay. I am who you're looking for. Yes, ma'am. Be patient. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Tell your people about me. Interesting. I heard the Lord say to me, okay, Tom, you tried it, meaning the world. Now try me. And I just said, yes, sir. I was on my knees by my bed in College Town, San Marcos. Roommates are gone, and I hear him speak to me. Listen, have you heard the Lord? Have you? I don't know if you have or haven't, but this is what I want to say. You are going to hear him. You're going to hear him more than you ever have before, and he's going to guide your steps and direct your paths. Okay, now y'all stand up. And then we've got a couple more verses, and we're going to finish this. But we're praying for them first, then we're praying for you second, then we're going to pray for parents third, all right? Okay, how are we going to do this? I'm going to do it. We're going to pray together. One of you stand here, one of you stand in the middle, and one of you stand close down to the end. Okay, thank you. All of us. Stand up, put your Bible on your chair. You ready? Okay. Can you get up and go and lay hands, and we're going to spend the next 3 or 4 minutes praying for these guys, then we're going to pray for these guys, okay? So just some of you go here, some of you come here, some of y'all go over there, okay? Let's go. Just go gather around. Lay hands on their shoulders. And in each group, I want 2, 3, 4, 5 of you to pray for the young person that you're laying hands on. Go ahead. All right? That's right. Pick one. You lay hands on them. Put your hands on their shoulders. Okay. Would you guys play some music while we're doing this? All right. For the next 3 or 4 minutes, go ahead. I want 3, 4, 5 prayers out of each group. You guys can pray. Just pray. And don't pray for safety. Don't pray for being good. I want you to pray for the purpose of God. I want you to pray that the voice of the Lord comes to these young people. And I want you to pray a fruitfulness on these kids, that they impact their generation. That's what I really want you to pray, that they impact their generation. Go for it. Don't pray small things. I mean, pray like these guys are going to change the world. Let's just go about one more minute. All right, let's start finishing up. Finish it up if you can. All right, this is what we're doing next. We want Nate and Sarah right here in the middle. Now all of you, let's all gather around, Nate and Sarah. Okay. You're getting picked on, sorry. Okay, let's gather close. And we'll pray for them for the next 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. And then when we're done here, I'm just going to share a couple more verses. And then I'm going to pray over all our parents, okay? All right, would y'all just gather in really close and lay hands on them. Okay, now I want big prayers for them. I don't want anything small. I mean, let's ask the Lord. And before we pray, Nate, I just had this picture in my mind. When we were here this spring, remember when we had teams kind of hanging out around here and people were going to different teams and we combined with your guys' people also. But I think I remember having a picture in my mind of like this wagon going across the West, headed towards California. Does that even ring a bell? Was it you, Nate, or somebody else that I had that picture for? Might have been somebody else, because it doesn't ring a bell with you. Okay. All right. No worries. Okay. Let's pray really big for them, okay? All right. Hands. Lay hands on them. And you can even just put your hand on the person in front of you if you want. But I want to pray and prophesy and speak over their future, okay? So your prayers are welcome here too. I'm going to pray, but I want some of y'all to do it too. Anybody have that first prayer? Do you? Amen. That's right. Amen. He's praying out of Isaiah 50 or somewhere right there. You need to go look that up and underline it, okay? Somebody else? Can I have one of the teenagers pray for them? Amen. Amen. Okay. Awesome. Okay, one more. Somebody else. Who is it? That's right.
Just like Jesus is the head and the body, they're going together. Let them work together.
That's right. Amen. 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 Father God, I just pray over Nate and Sarah in the name of Jesus. Lord, eye hath not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what you have prepared for them. And I just say that over you, Nate and Sarah. You haven't even fathomed it yet. But Lord, I just say you've fathomed it. Lord, you have got dreams and you envision things and you are planting seeds that will turn into a literal child, literal and spiritual. And so Lord, I just say, Lord, just envision the little one, the spiritual and the natural fruit. But envision the little one, envision the fruitfulness, envision what you want for these. And I say, Lord, plant the seed and speak it into being. And so we just say in the name of Jesus, we say, may a fruitfulness that they have not even imagined or conceived, may a fruitfulness be spoken into their lives and come from their lives to this generation, to their generation. May it come through them and may it touch more than they ever imagined in the name of Jesus. Lord, we do not ask for a small thing. Lord, the adversary has wanted to take the life of this young lady right here. But we say he has not been able to have her because she is the Lord's. He is her beloved and she is his. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Sarah. Thanks she's still here. Thank you that she has passion inside her and there's purpose upon her. We just say blessing on this couple in the name of Jesus. And we say they will fulfill the will of God for their generation, and it'll be more than they ever dreamed. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray over this church as a whole and the young people. And God, when you spoke and you said a new class of unusual leaders will again spring forth from this place, Lord, I pray that same prayer over this church, Tree of Life. Lord, I ask that you would impart an anointing on this church to reach multitudes of young people in the name of Jesus. And may it not be the religion that they give them. May it be a really amazing walk with Jesus. May they be enamored with Jesus. May they be amazed with Jesus. May they be totally astonished and astounded by Jesus. And may the knowledge of Jesus just go forth from this place like I don't know, Lord, like a flood. May it a good flood, Lord, a good flood that just washes over and through the school district and the hearts of the young people in this area. We just bless this place in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to impart that gift on Tree of Life that this church will influence multitudes of young people. I ask you to impart that here, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Everybody say, amen. 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 All right. hold on. If I can. A couple verses, then we're going to pray for parents. Back to Revelation 12. We're almost done. This is what I heard the Lord speak to me in that prayer meeting a few Wednesdays ago. In the first few paragraphs, the adversary wants to devour the child. Here, let's just pick up in verse 11 because it's talking about the accuser of the brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him. This is familiar. You'll remember this. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they didn't love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you, and he's filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. Here we go, verse 13. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert where she would be taken care of for a time, times and half a time. That's talking about tribulation there, or the first part of it. And out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water. Here's what I heard. From the serpent's mouth he spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening the mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her. Now listen, went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Now, I'm sorry, but I am not a Revelation scholar, nor do I. I'm just, this book amazes me. And I'm not trying to understand the book. I'm trying to point out in one chapter, the adversary went for the children. Now he's going for the mom. Do you see that? Now, this is how I want to finish. But I'm going to expand it to from more than just moms. Moms are critical, but so are dads in their own special way. And I'm going to get political right here. And here we are starting to redefine marriage. To what child that gets adopted do you want to say, which do you need less? Do you need the mom less or do you need the dad less? So you can have, do you hear what I'm saying? A million people marched in France over this one, the same issue, but this one point. Every child deserves a mom and a dad. And if you'll read enough, you'll figure out that it says two moms or two dads. It's not enough. They might have the best of intentions, but it's not enough. Do you hear me? Okay, that's my political for this. Just forgive me for that one, okay? All right. In the first part, the adversary was against the children. In the second part of the chapter, the adversary is against the parent. I'm going to say the parents. I'm going to expand it. We want to pray. Okay, if you're a parent, would you raise your hand? Is it predominantly most? Okay, you can put your hand down. That's why the whole last couple of verses of the whole Old Testament says this. Unless the Lord comes and sends the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, then the land gets a curse. Fathers specifically are being mentioned there in Malachi, but I just want to say the adversary's intention is to break the family. If you can break the family, you can injure and wound the children. Do you hear that? If you can break the family, you can injure and wound the children. All right, if you're a parent, would you just raise your right hand? And we're just going to pray together. Close your eyes. I just speak a blessing over this group of parents right here, mothers and fathers. And I just say, wherever there are broken relationships, even here among us, I just say, oh, Spirit of Reconciliation, I release you to go fix some difficult areas, some regrettable things that have happened. And I just say, Lord, I just release your reconciliation and your repair and your mending and your grace and your favor. And then I say over us as a whole, I just say we are good moms and we are good dads. And I say we hear from you and we see what you're doing and we lead our families, whether the children are young or older and grown in families of their own, whichever way it is, we just say we are good spiritual leaders and your blessing and your favor is on us. And we follow you, Lord, and your anointing is upon us to raise children that will impact this world and so that the scripture will be fulfilled that says, may the God of peace soon crush Satan underneath our feet. So, Lord, that we, all of us, whether we're parents or children, that we would be Satan crushers in the name of Jesus. So we receive your healing. We receive your anointing. We receive your vision. We receive your blessing. We receive the joy of the Lord. We receive your affirmation. We receive your delight in us. We receive us. We say condemnation and criticism and the thing that has cut people down and put them down into the dirt because of mistakes that have been made in the past. We say to that word of accusation, we say, shut your mouth. We say the joy of the Lord is our strength. We say the Lord redeems us. The Lord reconciles us. The Lord is good to us, and the Lord delights in us in the name of Jesus. Mistakes, we say, just shut your mouth and be done. And we say, Lord, thanks that you heal the brokenhearted and you fix where we've messed up. And you give us vision to do it well as we move forward. And you give us vision to be good parents at whatever stage of life we're in. And to the older parents and grandparents here, I just say, be sages, S-A-G-E, sages. Be carriers and bearers of wisdom to the younger generations, to the older generation here, to the grandparents, the grandmas and the grandpas. I just say, we carry wisdom and grace to our kids and our grandkids. We carry it and we freely give it in the name of Jesus. We thank you so much, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord. And last of all, Lord, I myself just add my prayers to these three young people that stood in the front. I just say no small fruitfulness, no small vision. I say amazing fruitfulness and your direction and your guidance and your gifting and your blessing is on these three young people in the name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. 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 Okay.